you can just tell someone no without explaining why.
Yeah, no is a complete sentence.
You can just tell someone, oh, no, I can't. Hey, do you want to come do this thing? No, I can't.
Yeah.
Like literally, no, I can't. You don't have to justify it.
Sounds so easy. And it's hard, but it's only hard the first couple times. Once you get past it, you're like, it actually is that easy.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Growing Up. I'm Devin Werkheiser.
And I'm Haven.
And today, Haven is going to be teaching me the top five ways to be authentic. Haven, hi.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, you know, the internet's a strange place, right? Like, I was just kind of like looking up like other shows, other podcasts in the vein of Growing Up. Because I think you and I make podcasts in a... It's kind of niche, even though we're talking about really broad life things, but we're here just being positive and talking about life in a real way. Like, these aren't the biggest podcasts in the world.
Mm-mm.
Some people go for, you know.
Small but true.
Yeah, it's small but true. I love that. Some people are going for, you know, entertainment in different ways. And so, yeah, I was just kind of like trying to find other podcasts like this. And I stumbled across yours and I started following you on Instagram. And just kind of love everything you put out and the just real conversations you're having with people. And that's why I wanted to have you on.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I mean, I also have to say, when I saw you DM me, I'm a child of the 90s. And so I was like, Ned? What? And I had to text my siblings because we were born 90, 91, 92. Like,
oh, yeah.
We were like prime for that like Nickelodeon, Disney era. And so we were just kind of all like fangirling. We're like, that's kind of crazy. We're like someone you would watch. And then now like we're here and I only live like 15 minutes away from here. So it's awesome. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Life's so weird like that, isn't it? I don't know. The internet, we're all equals on the internet. The internet just merges us all together. So yeah, it was like normal for me to be like, hey, you have a podcast? I have a podcast. Let's hang out.
Let's do it.
And then you were like, Ned? So when did you start your podcast? How did that happen? Haven the podcast.
Haven the podcast with an exclamation point.
That's right.
At the end. I started it like 6 or 7 months ago. So I'm a mom of two.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite things to do is to go get coffee with girlfriends and just talk about stuff, like similar to stuff that you talk about on your podcast of just like what's interesting to us.
Yeah.
And my time is so much more limited now that I just don't have enough coffees. And so my girlfriends were like, well, why don't you, you know, start a blog or a podcast? Or all of my nannies who are Gen Z were like, you should TikTok. And I was like, no, I can't. And they're like, okay, well, what if we do a podcast and we'll help you cut it up into TikToks? And so I was like, okay, like I could do that. And I was like, I'll try with 2 episodes and see. Cause I feel like I have a lot of things that I find interesting that I want to talk about. I feel like are universal, or maybe if it's not, you know, relating to everyone, it could kind of make you think about something differently. So I just started then. And then my first clip like went viral online. And then I was like, oh, like maybe there's something here. So I was like, okay, I'll do more than 2 episodes. And I just am going to keep going as long as I enjoy it. So.
So cool.
Just hit season 2.
So cool. Congrats. Yeah, us too. We started in the same year then. Like our podcasts are on a similar trajectory. We just started this last year. This is season 2, you know.
Cool. Learning a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're me and the producers, but we're all learning. We're all learning. But it's been so fun. I my Ned's pod has a particular kind of joy and tone to it. And it's with my co-stars and like it's a different level of fun. But the audience for Growing Up, because what we're talking about here is just life and kind of earnest and honest. Like I find I love when I meet people out in the wild and like they tell me like, man, I listen to Growing Up all the time and like I listen on my walks or my drive to work and like it just kind of like it makes me feel better about life. I'm like, oh, I could ask for nothing more, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. So I asked you because my main thing I noticed with you is just like your authenticity, like you're not putting anything on. You're just talking about life, how it is, being a mom, growing up, all the things, men, women stuff. I saw that episode. It's great. And so I asked you to bring in your top 5 ways to be authentic so that we can explore this topic together.
Let's do it.
Cool.
You want me to start?
Yeah. What's number 5?
So I just pick this up?
Yeah. Pick it up and like kind of show it. I want to see
it.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 5.
Number 5, be around authentic people.
Be around authentic people.
All right, tell me about that.
Well, I think we're all just products so much of our environment and who we're around and like who you spend a lot of your time with is either going to pull you up or pull you down, or probably worse, have you just stay the same and never change. So I think if you're around authentic people, it's pretty aware when you feel like you're not being authentic.
Yeah.
It just kind of comes against the light. And so I think if you're around it, it helps you kind of first be aware. I feel like the first part of authenticity is being aware of who you are. And if you're constantly around an authentic people, then you just jump into that mode and you just kind of go on autopilot, or you kind of become a chameleon, or you think, I need this for the moment, or I need this persona. And but when you're with authentic people, it kind of, you put your own defenses down.
Yep.
And I feel like you feel more confident to at least start the journey for yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's the first step.
Do you have a core group of friends? Do you have like your inner circle?
Yeah. Yeah. We have like, so my husband, we've been married for a long time. We have like our couple friends, which I don't know. Those are hard to find.
Yeah.
Where you both like both people in the couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That one's huge. And that's who we go to where like, we can't get over this marital thing. Can we bounce it off of you? Like, who's in the wrong? Like,
yeah,
that one helps. I have some girlfriends that we have like a mom book club where we read and like just talk about things. Or I have my best friend who lives in Texas that I just call.
Yeah.
And we could just talk about nothing and everything for like an hour. We kind of go all over the place. But she's kind of my tried and true of getting the head trash out.
Yeah.
Just kind of like processing it out. So it's kind of different flavors. I like to think of friendship as kind of like a color palette.
Yep.
Where I want different colors of people. Like there are some deep, rich ones where we go into like depth.
Yep.
There's some where like light yellows, let's get our nails done and not talk about anything else.
Sure,
you know?
Sure,
like,
sure. Yeah.
So I feel like I kind of want to have every color represented in friendship. And it's also not like all the pressure on one person to be everything.
Yeah. Did you grow up in LA?
I did. I grew up in Castaic.
Okay.
Up until, which is, if you're not familiar with LA, it's like 45 minutes, an hour.
Yeah. Summer. Yeah. It's kind of out of the city.
And then
which
I moved to Dallas when I was 11. And then I stayed there for junior high all the way through a couple years after college, and then moved back like 8 or 9 years ago.
Cool. Because there's a stereotype about LA that I hear people talk about, which is that like LA is inauthentic, that you meet so many inauthentic people. And I don't know. I don't find that to be true. Like, yes, within the entertainment industry, if you're only going to entertainment events or like the hot spots, yeah, you're going to be around people who are trying to be seen or trying to navigate a career of fucking vanity. Like, that exists. But like, LA is huge. And I find there's so many amazing, authentic people, community, spaces. Like, yeah, I don't know. I just hate when I hear that shit.
That speaks more about you. I think you find who you are.
Yes.
And so anyone who's saying that actually is a little bit more to me of like an inkling into maybe their own undertones than it is actually about whatever city they're talking about.
Are you like me and you need to be more organized in your life? Yeah, I get it. I often struggle with being organized, and that's because I'm trying to do it all in my head. This is a silly thing when there are powerful tools out there in the world that can help us. I am so grateful to today's sponsor, Notion, because they have changed the way I organize my life and organize my projects with my teams. You know I'm busy. I'm running 2 podcasts. I'm in and out of the music studio. I got auditions. There's a lot to keep together. And Notion is an all-in-one place where I can keep my schedule, projects, notes, and interactions with my teams organized. Notion combines your notes, docs, and projects into one space that's simple and beautifully designed. And now the fully integrated Notion AI helps you work faster, think bigger, and write better, helping you to accomplish tasks that would normally take hours in just a matter of seconds. We use the AI feature all the time to brainstorm questions for guests, come up with episode titles, and just do a lot more without having to switch back and forth between screens. It's fully integrated into the app. And one of my favorite things about Notion is the look and feel compared to other organization apps. It just has a great design and a user interface that's really simple to use. Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/growingup. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/growingup, to try the powerful Notion AI for free today. And remember, when you sign up, you're supporting our show. That's notion.com/growingup. I say that to people about LA. Like, LA can be whatever you want it to be, but you have to navigate it like as you and kind of find your space here. And you will if you're like real to yourself, if you're real with yourself, I think LA has like everything to offer, but you could end up in spaces that aren't for you. And then you just gracefully leave them and go find what's for you, right?
I think so many cities are like that. Like obviously LA has amazing things to offer, but it's kind of like the saying of wherever you go, there you are.
Yes.
Like you may come here thinking of opportunity and everything, but you're still bringing you, like you're going to run into the same problems and you're going to be like, oh, LA sucks. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go to New York and be better. It's the same story because it's you. It's you in different environments. And also so much of it is you are creating the most immediate environment around you.
Exactly. Wherever you go, there you are. Man, I've been susceptible to thinking like some of the time like, oh, I could just travel and that'll solve all my problems. And at the time I'm traveling, it usually does because when I'm traveling, I'm present, I'm in a new space. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I get back home and the same things I was running from are right there. Like, I'm like, oh, fuck, I still have to deal with these problems. Like,
it was a nice parachute, but.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a nice little break. Cool. I love that. Be around authentic people. It did take me, I've always had great friends in my life, like different circles and just kind of throughout my life, I've always had a tight circle, but it did take me time to really learn what people were saying when they say like, you will become like who you spend the most time with. You know, a lot of us might hold on to friends, and it's not to say you don't help a friend through a rough time, but like, I think a lot of us can hold on to friends who are always going through a rough time or always not getting what they want and complaining about it. And they're always in drama and you kind of know it. And you're like, well, I'm not a dramatic person, but oh my God, she's going through that thing. I got to talk to her all night about it. And it's like, oh, you're becoming the drama, whether you like it or not. Like if someone is always that way, that's going to be your life too, if you're their friend.
Oprah says that. She says, when people tell you who they are, listen.
Yeah.
And that's just someone telling you who they are. And it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
Because, you know, most friendships are seasonal, but there's kind of like a grieving of like, oh man, like what we had isn't the same.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to keep growing up, then it's just time to part ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's hard too. As we grow up, like you should change. You should change. You should be maturing. You should be evolving. Even not better or worse, you should just be changing because that's what happens. And friendships won't always be in alignment with that change. And like being real about that, I think is a big part of growing up. Because when we're younger, I feel like there's just this thing of like, no, that's my friend and I'm loyal and we have history and that's it. And it's like, that's not how it goes.
No, but there's something to be said about it. It's like the desire for loyalty and the desire for it to go on and I'm going to make it work and I'm going to push through and I'm going to try. And I think that's right for some select people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the majority of friendships, though, it's like, oh, man, this is beautiful for what it was.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. For me, relationships, like a romantic relationship, will ultimately require work and effort. For me, with friendships, I don't think they should require work, not friendships. Like, we're friends. I will want to show up for you. It won't feel like effort. The main thing to put in is time. And you can't shortcut that. You can't become besties in a week. Like, it just doesn't work. You have to see each other over time. But yeah, whenever for me a friendship starts to feel like work, like effort, like you're not answering, I'm like, this isn't it for me. Because friendship for me is not. It's not work. It's the opposite of work. It just is. We're friends.
Yeah.
There's people I won't see for fucking years. But if I see them, that's my friend. Like, I know that person's heart. I know their energy. I love being around them, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. What's number four? Give me your number four. Okay. Cool.
Ask yourself internally, what do I honestly and truly think about this?
Okay.
Because I think if you're going to be authentic, you first have to be authentic with yourself.
Yeah.
Because I think it's answering honestly, maybe that you're not ready to outwardly be authentic.
Yeah.
But at least inwardly of like, how does this feel? Like you just touched on it of like your friend being like, oh, that feels kind of strange. Like ask yourself authentically.
Yeah.
Okay, this feels weird. Yeah. I'm not going to pretend it doesn't. I'm not going to push it aside. Authentically, if I'm being true to myself, I have to admit something feels off here.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the first steps too of just being in alignment with yourself of what your thoughts are, maybe how it's representing and how it feels in your body.
Yeah.
And being in touch first with like, okay, I need to know myself before I can ever present that outside. Like I have to kind of understand what's happening inside first.
Definitely. I love that. I love that. That's a practice. You have to practice asking, being that honest with yourself.
I have a question for you on this one.
Yeah, please.
So growing up as a child actor,
mm-hmm.
so one, a lot of it is acting, mm-hmm. surely. But two, like, you are there to work. It's not the same. Like, we as children had the luxury of anonymity to yeah. figure out issues and mistakes and hurting people's feelings and stuff. But as a kid, I feel like you had a unique case. Like,
yeah.
how did you navigate that when you are having more of a spotlight than most of us listeners would have?
Yeah. It is a strange thing being a child actor because of that. You're just in a different relationship to your external and internal world than most kids are. And like for Ned's, right? Like you literally get media trained. Like you get trained on how to present yourself when giving an interview, right? Like that's something a normal kid will never have to think about.
Mm-mm.
How do I present myself? So now I'm separating my being, right? I'm not just being, I'm kind
performing.
Of manipulating mm-hmm. my being, right? Like, yeah, I'm performing. It's a strange thing. Now, I always loved it. And I had the best case scenario of it in terms of ending up on Ned's, which we had creators of that show who understood we were still children. Mm-hmm. They weren't treating us like adults. They knew we were kids and provided an environment, even though it is an adult environment, it is a working environment, as best they could, provided a space where we could still be kids. So I had a unique experience with it. But I will say, I went to Burning Man when I was 20, okay? And it was like the first time, like my entire life, I started acting professionally when I was like 8. And part of that is constantly being aware of how I'm being perceived and received and trying to modify what I'm doing to be perceived the way I want to, right? I think we all do that to some extent, but as actors, that is literally my job. So just that being a part of my day-to-day life and how I related to people, I didn't realize until going to Burning Man, no joke, I'm like out there covered in dust in a fucking tutu. No one cares who the fuck I am or what I do. Like no one cares out there. It was the first time I think I felt like, oh, whoa. Like I don't have to think about that shit here. And then therefore, I was able to check in with myself honestly. Who am I today? What do I want to feel like or be or express? Not because of how they will perceive me, but just because that's authentic. Mm-hmm. How do I feel today? How do I want to express that today? It was liberating and it changed my life. And I recognized then like, oh, wow, this level of self-awareness that you have as a kid actor is there's a reason so many of us go fucking crazy.
Yeah. I don't think anyone comes out unscathed, but anyone who doesn't come out, who just has yeah. a train wreck is remarkable to me.
Yeah.
Because the expectations of this is who you have to be, this is who you have to show up with and what you have to say and how you have to perform, and you can never hurt someone's feelings. You can never have a bad day.
Exactly. And literally your barometer of success in your career, life, it's everything. All of that is put on how did you perform? Were you the goodiest boy, you know? Were you the best boy?
Uh-huh.
And if you don't break that down as you mature, yeah, you'll lose your fucking mind.
Yeah, brutal.
Yeah, I'm glad for Burning Man. I'm glad for my parents. I had some really real friends. And I kind of did things to decondition that in myself. But yeah, that's some shit.
Surely.
Yeah. Listeners, are you like me and struggled for years to organize your finances? Well, it's time to get better at it. And thank goodness for Rocket Money. Seriously, since they became a sponsor and I signed up, I have lowered my bills. I've found multiple subscriptions that I had forgotten about. They make it so easy to see them and cancel them. And then beyond that, it's just an amazing tool that, right? Like when you're building your life, you want good tools. You don't have to do it all yourself. And Rocket Money is just an amazing tool to keep your money in front of you. I can see what's coming in. I can see what's going out. I can actually conceptualize starting to save money. It's really changed the game for me, and I know it will for you too. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/growing up. That's rocketmoney.com/growing up. rocketmoney.com/growing up. I love that. Be honest with yourself. I think we can deceive ourselves more than we can be deceived by others. Mm-hmm. So being honest with ourselves is, that's why I say it's a practice. Because I find sometimes, I don't know, part of that like deconditioning of myself, like I had to learn, what do I want and like versus what I actually kind of took from the external world, you know, what I think I should want and like, mm-hmm. what I think I should be, how much of that is coming from out here in the people and ideas around me, and how much of that have I actually like chosen or checked in with, you know?
You know, I read a portion of a book yesterday. It was a part of the book club. It was The Worry-Free Parent by Sissy Goff, and it was saying that sometimes anxiety is intuition turned inward,
yeah.
where you're feeling something in your intuition and you're like, nope, can't be that. It's not this. It's not external. I'm going to take it inward. And then you feel really, really anxious instead of just admitting of like, oh, what's coming up from my intuition in this moment.
Yep.
But when you shut it down, when you negate it, when you replace it, when you have expectations that you're not allowed to do that, then it does turn inward and it causes anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. When you're not being authentic with yourself, you are for sure feeling more anxiety. Mm-hmm. You can authentically feel anxiety too, right?
Yeah.
None of us escape
different episode,
anxiety.
Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. but you really can feel it from when you're not being honest with yourself, right? Like how often do we feel something and then tell ourselves like mentally like, oh no, you shouldn't be feeling that.
Yeah, totally.
What the fuck?
We just like gaslight ourselves.
We gaslight the shit out of ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you.
All right. Give me number three.
Okay.
And also you can ask me anything, you know.
Okay. I have to remember that every time before I look it over.
That's good. That's why we wrote them down.
Okay, good. Be authentic, but vulnerability is earned.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about that.
I mean, yeah, definitely be open and real and where you are, but that doesn't require you to be vulnerable with everyone.
Mm.
I feel like sometimes people think, oh, authentic, that means I need to put my heart on my sleeve, everything out there. Or they overshare or they share things that people have not deserved to hear about you and are not proven to be safe to hold this sacred information you're sharing.
Yeah.
Or sometimes people take it as an excuse of like, well, this is my truth and I'm just going to hurt people, or I'm going to be overly honest and, you know, well, that's just like how I see it. Like, nope, you're just being mean.
Yeah.
You're being hurtful. So it's the authenticity is not the same as vulnerability. And it's also not a carte blanche. Like you can say whatever you want.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You mean I shouldn't tell strangers everything about my personal internal world?
I mean, you're talking to people with podcasts.
Yeah.
So, you know, like there's a fine line.
It's a little different for us, but granted, like we're talking amongst each other here. I'm still learning this one and it's so fucking true, but I'm still learning because I've learned to be so open, because my default, like that muscle in me is so open. Mm-hmm. I have had to learn this one of like, oh yeah, I can be authentic with people, but like, I don't need to share like my real soft shit with everyone. And in fact, I shouldn't. Like, save that for people who, like you said, like they've earned it. Like, I know it's safe with them. Mm-hmm. Like, I know they'll care. There's been so many times in my life where I've shared something really vulnerable with someone too fast. Mm-hmm. That they can't even appreciate what I'm sharing because they don't know enough about me to know that like what I'm sharing like something deep about getting to know, like it's a deep part of my being, but they don't know enough about me yet to even know that share is like a gift.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, in some form, it is a form of intimacy.
It is.
And it's emotional intimacy. It's just like context matters for that.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to walk in, meet you guys and be like, I'm going to get in a bikini. Like it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
And it's actually like a big jump.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm with close friends and I'm going to a beach, totally makes sense to wear a bikini.
Yeah.
But it's also like the layers of like, if I'm meeting someone, okay, I'm going to start and take my jacket off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Like, let's test it. You've proven true. Okay. Then like, let's figure out the next thing, where it's also the layers of someone over time has proven you can trust me and I'm going to be a protector and a keeper of what you're going to share. And I'm going to value and honor it in a way that I see the jewels that you're presenting in front of me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn it. Like, I think we all are who don't have spouses, but like in dating too, like I think a lot of people I know, including myself, like we can move too fast, not necessarily physically, like we can move too fast in trying to get to know someone so quickly, or like, tell me everything about yourself. Like, it's not how it works. It has to slowly over time kind of be revealed. And like, conversation points about someone's life might come about naturally rather than like kind of jumping ahead. Yeah. Oh, tell me your deepest trauma. Like,
totally. And if you're like building a relationship, then if it is something that's going to last, then you need the foundation.
Yeah.
And there's going to be wet cement, you know, just be like, oh, and now it's time to put the plumbing in. Like, it takes a long time to settle. Like, things take time to build. Like, even start with just the cornerstones.
Facts.
Like, before you even get into it and be like, hey, here are four things that I'd want anyone to know about me.
Yeah.
And starting there. Okay, great. How do you handle it? And then let's do the next layer. Like, there is something. I feel like our culture, you're totally right. It's just really quick, instant gratification.
Yeah.
And it's proven over time. It doesn't last.
No.
It really doesn't.
I know. I'm still learning the pace with things. Like, not only am I an open person naturally, but also acting. Like, literally, we train to be vulnerable and open and discuss these things. Like, it's not just who I am. It's also what I train to fucking be for my craft. And I am learning over these last however many years, fucking 10 years, like the different pace of opening up with someone and intimacy. Cause yeah, I think most actors, like, we can jump into intimacy fucking instantly, like fully into, tell me who the fuck you are raw, like naked. Tell me everything about you. Cause we do that cause we're freaks as actors. We're like,
you have to tap into it.
Yeah, we do it all the time. Yeah, we're talking yourself. About character. We're talking about ourselves. Like, what's the deepest nerve in me, right? Like, all that shit. And man, it doesn't bode well for, something lasting. Like you said, building a strong foundation. If you're jumping in too fucking quickly, the house is going to fall over.
Totally.
Yeah.
And we just met, but it's great to err on that, you know? It's, hey, if you're so emotionally connected and so involved, you have to rein it in. Awesome. That's better than like someone who never opens up and can never share and can never touch into themselves. Yeah, we all have growing edges.
Yeah.
You know, yours just maybe more out there of being like an actor and like, you know, and just emotive.
Yeah.
But we all have stuff, you know, like it's just going to err on one side and be like, okay, where's my growing edge for it?
Yeah, no, I'll take that. Cause I would rather, it's why I'm okay. Like, I would rather be an open individual than a closed person.
Totally.
But how about, man, there's a few people in my life. I do love when I meet someone who like seems really fucking closed, but they're not. They just don't give it out for free. And then you fucking earn it and you're like, oh, you're so cool. And it feels so good that you shared that with me. Yeah,
totally. And it's actually more bonding because it also kind of doesn't really feel great if someone just tells you everything. You're like, okay, we have nowhere to go from here.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm all, what makes me special? You'll tell anyone on the street.
True. Yeah, Lindsay and I from Ned's, we're both learning that. We're both fucking oversharers. We'll just talk about—
Which character did you play?
Moe's.
Oh.
Yeah, we both are just— And Daniel is actually more— Cookie is more reserved.
Yeah, I only know the characters.
Yeah. Moe's— So we have our podcast, so it's the three of us, we're talking all the time. Daniel is someone who he's authentic with people. He'll connect with anyone, but he'll keep his shit tight, right? And since we've all reconnected— He's opened up with Lindsay and I in these ways that Lindsay and I are both like, I feel so blessed and special because you've bestowed this honesty and we know you don't give these stories to everyone in these parts of your life, where Lindsay and I will tell the fucking person at the fucking bus stop and then no one feels special because we're just sharing. We're just airing it all out.
It's good to have a friend like Cookie. Who knows what his real name is?
Daniel.
To me, he's Cookie.
It's good to have a Cookie. All right, what's your number two tip for being authentic?
It is. Oh, yeah. Have people you trust tell you when you're not being authentic. Because I don't think you can know yourself outside of relationships fully. You can do a lot of internal work. You can do a lot of individual stuff. But if I think I'm authentic and my closest friends don't, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know?
Fact.
I have to be able to trust and like also like, you know, okay, if I think I tell the truth and they tell me I don't, I don't. If I think I'm a good friend and they tell me I'm not, I'm not. Like those closest to me, I have to, one, allow them to see me, like to actually see me enough.
Yep.
And then two, invite them to tell me the truth.
Yep.
Because I know they care about me.
Yep.
But to actually gauge it, like you don't know really who you are unless you do have it outside of that kind of relationship.
Yep. Yeah, it's not real until it's shared with more people. Like, you know, you can be the next coming of Jesus Christ in your own head, but until the world agrees, like, you're not, like, shit's not real until people who actually know you are kind of on board.
Yeah.
When's the last time, have you been checked by your friends anytime recently or husband?
I mean, the most recent for me is I feel like I have a lot vying on my time and there's so much I want to do. And it's hard for me to say no because there's so much I want to do.
Yeah.
So I was talking to my best friend, Candace, and I was thinking, okay, well, how do I decline this? How do I do it or whatever? And I was essentially thinking of a workaround of like not the real reason, you know, of like, oh, I can't go to lunch, of, oh, that's a long drive. And then I have this. And then if they propose a solution of, oh, great, I'll meet you down the street from you. And you're like, not the real reason I was trying to decline. Like, I think my own check is like when you externally are like talking with someone, you just kind of see it and you're like, oh, man, like I'm not giving them the real reason.
Yep.
The real reason is I am so spread thin right now. I would love to see you. I just can't make it work.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not. It's a long drive.
Nope. It's that I can't. I can't think about planning this.
Right now. And like, or maybe I even don't even have to give a reason. It's just I can't. So I think my check is like the authenticity of when I'm giving an answer, I try and ask myself now after that came up of, is this really the real one? Or if they produce a solution.
Would it still be no?
Would it still be no? And if they produce a solution to what I'm saying here, am I still going to be disappointed?
Yeah.
Okay, then it's not the real reason.
Yeah.
So I think that's the check of like, am I saying actually what's in line with what I mean?
So good.
Or am I trying to soften something or trying to protect feelings, which in the end hurts everyone more?
Oh, it's such a fucking paradox of life. Like I go through this as you, anytime you try and soften a situation by being inauthentic, by lying to protect someone's feelings, you're gonna hurt their feelings more.
It's gonna make it worse. And I don't know about you, but I feel safer when someone's direct.
Hell yeah.
I always am like, well, I know where you stand. Word.
Yeah.
But someone who I feel like is always placating me or pushing things aside, I'm like, you have the internal intuition of, I don't think that's really the reason.
Exactly.
But I'm not gonna check you on it because I don't really know for sure, you know?
Exactly.
But if someone is like a straight shooter, I feel so much more at ease around them because I know they're going to tell me what they really think.
Yeah, this may come as a surprise to some of you listeners out there and you, Haven, but you can just tell someone no without explaining why.
Yeah, no is a complete sentence.
Yeah, like you literally don't, we all habitually think I need to tell them no and then tell them my schedule to justify why I'm saying no. Yeah. Not at fucking all. You can just tell someone, oh no, I can't. Hey, do you want to come do this thing? No, I can't.
Yeah.
Like literally, no, I can't. You don't have to justify it. You can just say, no, I can't. That's fine. That's not mean. It's not like, that's fine. Some friends and I recently, like a friend had invited me to something in a couple weeks and kind of just how my brain works these days is like, I can only work like 3 days in advance or like the day of if it's not a work scheduling thing because I don't know in my free time. I don't know how I'm going to feel that day. And I just told them that like, hey, this sounds great, but I'm literally not going to know until that morning. If you need a yes now, then it's a no. Mm-hmm. But if I can let you know that day, maybe I'll come, right? And that was the realest answer and she dug it. And then she did the same thing with me at a certain time. She was like, I literally can't say yes. I'm not gonna know until that day. I'm so spread thin. Like, let me let you know day of.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all good.
Yeah.
Totally cool.
Yeah.
That's liberating.
It's liberating. Even hearing you say it, I'm like, it sounds so easy.
Yeah.
Sounds so easy. And it's hard, but it's only hard the first couple times. Once you get past it, you're like, it actually is that easy.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because it's not, like for some reason in our head, there's some weird gray area where we feel like we're being, I don't know, mean? Like there's something about like me saying no is wrong. Like I'm hurting that, you're not. They asked you. I didn't ask them to invite me.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
They invited me. They asked me about my time. I'm allowed to say no. Like I literally, no, I just can't.
Mm-mm, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one I have been practicing over the last few years, but by necessity, most things in my life, I only start learning by necessity and it came out of, I am stretched really thin between, I'm sure you are too, mom, podcasts, other things. Like I'm stretched between all the different things I'm doing. So when it comes to someone extra, even if it's a close friend, asking me about something that isn't on my agenda, mm-hmm. I can't just say yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. It's hard to context switch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I try and default to like no. Mm-hmm. But then I got to check that some of the time because sometimes I'm saying no to something that I really want to go to, but I'm just like default no, you know?
See, I think it's also the thing about authenticity is it's not a destination.
Yes.
It's going to always change.
Yes.
And okay, maybe that's authentic right now is like, hey, the default's no until yeah. otherwise, until I get some more space.
Yeah.
And then you can change.
Yeah.
But for right now, that is true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The default is let me protect the extra space and time that I have. I can't fill it or I'll feel even more burnt out.
Totally.
Yeah. Cool. Are we to one? Oh my goodness.
Ready?
We're all right. Your number one tip for being authentic.
I think to be authentic, you need to know yourself, but more importantly, you need to like yourself.
Ooh.
Because I don't think you're going to want to be authentic if you hate yourself.
Damn. Facts.
And you don't have to like everything about yourself yeah. at all. You can totally be a work in progress. You can totally be aware.
You should be.
You should be.
Yeah.
I'd hope so. But like, I think at the end of the day, what you need to at least be able to stand by is your choices. Mm. And I stand by the choices I've made today, and they were true for me. They were the best with the information I had at the time, and that's all I can do. Mm. Like, one of my favorite quotes is Erwin McManus, who says it's the most spiritual act in the world is to choose. Mm. And I think we all have choices every day, and it's like, ultimately, you like yourself when you're proud of the choices you made. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to know who you are, but then you have to accept it.
Yeah. The choice thing really makes me think of, and it's something I've talked about on this pod before, but it's with some men. I find it with more women, but when it comes to dating, they'll date by committee, meaning they'll ask their friends everything about how they're engaging with this person or this, right? The problem with that being, you're not actually choosing off your own will or your own assessment. You're collecting everyone's opinion and kind of defaulting to what they're saying. But then what happens is if it doesn't go right or it does go right, you're not actually learning to stand by your choices. You're not learning to like yourself more because you're delegating. Like you're like delegating the choice yeah. to your best friends.
And just abdicating responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. You're relinquishing your fucking responsibility in that choice. And therefore, you're not learning to like yourself. You're not learning to like your choices or learn from your choices. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes for anything in your life. Like, don't get me wrong. Amazing to have friends you can go to for counsel and advice. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like, I'm gonna know how I feel about a situation and what I think is the right choice. And I'm just gonna use them as a sounding board mm-hmm. to check my own choice. Mm-hmm. But you can't like your choices if you're fucking relinquishing the fucking responsibility of them.
No, it's interesting you say that because I got my nails done this week and there were two women sitting next to me and they were totally doing the same thing. She was like, I'm thinking about this guy. She handed the phone and her friend was giving input and it was back and forth. Dude. But the other friend was giving input of like, well, he's more my type and like was like kind of like taking it over. And I was like, ooh, okay. It was
See, then you got different motives involved.
Very entertaining. I was like, oh, that's so interesting of like, you know, what a switch from taking care of your friend and then now it's your type. And
she's like, you should fuck this up so I can date him.
Yeah, like she kind of was. But it is like that committee type thing. Or I think sometimes if we're making a bad choice and we want other people, I heard something where it was like, if you go to more than one person for advice on a decision, you actually didn't want their advice. You wanted them to confirm the decision you wanted to make.
Yo.
So it's also like, if you're going to know yourself and make a choice, if you do the committee route and like people are giving you other things that you don't want to hear and you're disregarding it, you actually didn't want their counsel. Yeah. You just wanted someone to co-sign this terrible decision you're probably
yeah.
going to make.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my life, like you talk about like be around authentic people or have friends tell you when you're being inauthentic. Like I've gotten out of long-term relationships before where then my best friends who were around the whole time, only once it was over, they were like, oh yeah, yeah, you guys weren't, like they weren't right for you at all. And like, never liked that for you. Like, not that that person's bad, but just like, oh, never liked that for you. And I had never heard it while we were together. And it was like, I get what they were doing, which is like, make your choices, you know, learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was like, that would have been useful information, totally. Man, to know that my best friends don't feel like, it's for me, like, you see it as inauthentic. It's not a good match. Like, that would have been useful information for me.
Yeah.
But I also never asked them in an authentic way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I never seeked
really
it out.
Know.
Exactly.
Maybe not.
Exactly. I didn't seek it out. Yeah. That committee thing, I think, makes people... Like, those are two sides of the spectrum. Is like, I didn't ask anybody, and maybe I should have asked some close mm-hmm. friends. Because look, if your partner, if nobody who loves you the most likes that person, mm-hmm. you could still be with that person. Mm-hmm. But that's some valuable information.
Totally.
If no one in your family or closest friends likes that person, that's valuable information.
Totally.
Like, that's a different form of committee. That's not relying on them for your choices. That's like, yo, check in with your people.
Yeah, and also just trusting that they have your best interest at heart, and they're
exactly.
about to do the scary thing, which is say something that could risk your relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you could choose the person you're dating, and mm-hmm. that sucks for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But they're having bravery and courage enough to tell you,
mm-hmm.
then they're actually a really great friend.
Yep.
You know, like yep. that's actually someone to hold on to. Or I even think of like the ways, like my husband, we've been together forever. Like, we've been married for 11 years. We've been like a couple for like 16. So he knows me like the back of his hand.
Yeah.
He knows it. And especially when it came to like little kids, like a couple months ago, he was like, hey, you keep like retreating. He's like, you keep like, you know, when the kids are like passed by, he's like, I find you in the other room, like reading or something. He's like, are you okay? And I just was like, actually, no, like I'm really overstimulated. Like,
yeah,
it's a lot. Like, and I didn't realize I was doing that.
Right.
But it was like a gentle of like, hey, like, we look up and you're gone.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, they're taken care of and we're like, where's mom? And I was like, yeah, I just am, like, feeling a lot. So it's also, like, someone who just has the invitation and the two-way street open yeah. to just, like, tell you.
Yeah, because you may not even be aware.
Like, you may yeah. not even been, like, obviously you weren't if the person you were dating.
I wasn't aware.
Just
that,
unaware.
Yeah,
and just
I wasn't aware.
And then also it's when someone tells you that, it's like not being defensive.
Yes.
It's not saying like this,
no,
that.
No, you don't punish someone who's
no, or someone
like
saying like, oh, that, you know, your girlfriend, maybe it's not a great fit. It's like, what? What about all these great? It's just, wow, like, thank you for telling me.
Yeah.
I'm going to like lick my wounds now and
yeah.
like think about it. But like,
yeah.
that's a really tried and true person.
Yeah. I told my, so after that, like my relationship developed with that friend who had told me that, like, he's one of my best friends. And so because of that experience, I tried to get better at it with us moving forward. And he was dating someone one time and I was like, hey man, we got to talk and we're not going to talk past this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know you really care about this girl. She's great. I just said, you can't marry her. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm going to say. I was just letting him know she's not that. Mm-hmm. I was like, if you decide that, we're going to have a different conversation. I was like,
how'd he take it?
He took it great because we have a really good relationship. But it did land. He was like, huh, interesting. But it's because I saw what was happening with him. And I just wanted to let him know that thing of a friend. Like,
yeah.
She's not that.
Yeah.
Date her. All good, man. We're not going to talk beyond it. Like, I love hanging with her, but you're not going to marry her. And I saw him and he took it well. And then I was like, we're good. But yeah, it's funny. It's funny having those friends. I'm trying to get better at it. I love this final tip of like yourself. I think it's hard for a lot of people. And I think you're right. If you don't like who you are and you don't stand by who you are, you're not going to be authentic because you're always going to be trying to not be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Have you always liked yourself?
Yeah.
That's good. You're blessed. Mm-hmm. I've kind of, it's like, of course I have certain insecurities, but I've always had a base foundation of like confidence in myself.
Yeah. I think all of us have stuff we want to work on.
Exactly. No, I got
stuff.
Shit.
Yeah,
but yeah.
There's something to it.
That comes hard to some people though, liking
it
yourself.
It does.
Does.
I have just so much respect for someone who's had a long journey
yeah.
to get there.
Yeah.
Because maybe it tastes a little sweeter.
Exactly. Yeah, to just on a base level be like, I'm gonna be okay and I'm okay where I am now. I want to be better, but I'm okay with who I am.
Also, like, so much grace of like so much of that is childhood messaging.
Exactly.
So
most
much.
Of it.
Yeah, like.
And you didn't get to choose that.
You didn't get to choose that. And you didn't get to choose, like, even, like, what proclivities or, like, what mental illnesses you may, like,
nope.
have been diagnosed with or whatever your parents or caretakers said growing up. Like, so much of it may have to be, like, cleaning out messaging yeah. and getting back to, like, well, who am I? Not who did someone say I was? And maybe you're not even aware of that, you know? So
yeah.
I feel like it is, like, some deep work if you're trying to, like, rebuild a bad foundation.
Yeah.
That takes demolishing.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, listeners, if you have not given yourself permission to like who you are, I will give you permission. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to like who you are. And then, you know, always be getting better and checking in with that in an honest way. But like, you're allowed to like who you are right now as is. There's nothing you have to do to earn that. You can just like who you are.
Yeah, you decide it.
Yeah.
And then I think it's similar to going back to when you were talking in the beginning of the pod of like, you find who you are when you like yourself.
Yeah.
I think you also find other people. Yeah. Either like themselves or also like you for who you are, because you're showing up of who you are.
Yeah.
And then those relationships hit a little deeper too.
Yeah.
Because they're actually connecting with you.
Yeah. You know what's a cool thing too? We talked about earlier is like, wherever you go, there you are. Mm-hmm. There actually is a cool part of travel that I have found, which is like, you might be stuck in your routine, and the mirror of that as to who you are. Like, I find when I travel, I get to remember who I am because it's me without any of my normal shit. Mm-hmm. Who am I moving through the world? Like, who am I in the airport by myself? Who am I navigating a city that I don't know by myself? And there is actually some healing that can be done. Like, if you don't like yourself, maybe you don't like yourself like in your town at that moment. Like, mm-hmm. you might need a reminder that you're so much more than that. And you might actually know who you are like on a pure level. You just need to go to like a space where no one's expecting you to be that other thing or whatever.
That's such a great point, is maybe it is changing the environment.
Yeah, sometimes that's the case.
And it is. And it's also hard if you're changing internally and you have a lot of internal shifts. People are going to see you as who they knew you to be.
Yes.
And they're probably even going to get uncomfortable when you grow because that's not how they relate to you.
Yep.
So it's also kind of preparing of like, hey, as I'm like identifying myself, like I have to know that like relationships may adjust.
Definitely.
And that's for the better, but it is going to get clunky for a while before it gets better, but then it gets so much better.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. If you're ready to make some big changes in your life, like you are committed to that, or you see it for yourself, know it might shock the people around you and they might have some other expectations for you and you might need to kind of like pull back for a little while to do you, and then they'll get used to it if they're meant to still be in your life. Well, and they'll support it.
It'll require them to change.
Yeah.
If you change, it requires them. And so if they don't want to change, then you will lose them.
Yeah. And at the very least, change their idea of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. This has been so great.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming to talk about authenticity. Thanks for doing your pod as well. Mm. Also, what's your mom's name?
Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa. I saw her on Survivor. I love Survivor. And I got to see her on Survivor. That was cool.
She's amazing.
She seems like a really fucking great woman.
She's the best mom in the world.
I have one of those too. So no wonder we relate.
Yeah. And also no wonder we like ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so much of it I think is coming from like often a mom, sometimes a dad, you know? But I feel like when you grow up and someone genuinely likes you.
Dude.
Then you don't really question it. You think I'm a person worthy of being liked.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's something of shout out to the parents who do that. Shout out to if you have kids and you're the first time and you never got that. You're trying to give your kids that. Like, yeah. There's something substantial to breaking a cycle.
Definitely. Definitely. Where can people find you, Haven?
They can find me on my podcast, Haven. It's just Haven with an exclamation point. It's my name. Pretty easy. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube.
Awesome.
So YouTube is at Haven the Podcast, and then that's the same for Instagram and TikTok.
Great.
Just at Haven the Podcast. So there are shorter clips there, but then long form.
Yeah.
Is, you know, obviously wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, go check out Haven's pod. It's so great. All sorts of authentic conversations around this life we're living and this growing up we're doing. I'm so great to know you now. I really appreciate you coming on, and let's keep growing up.
Yeah, let's do it.
Bye, guys. See you in 2 weeks.